So welcome back to the Beast Game Podcast. And again, we're going to talk about Star Wars because there is more drama in the House of the Mouse. It revolves around the one thing that was actually saving Star Wars, which is the Mandalorian. And now you might have the lead actor of that show not wanting to do it for various reasons. But we're going to go to the man that he'll run up on you with no hesitation if you ever mention that he has a base operation for the base hits. Gangsta Mike. As you may.
Intros never fail. Very confused as to what's going on. Beep was over here. We actually watched the prequels. Got into a discussion about this when Jango Fett came up in Attack of the Clones. I can't get past is, could go with the excuse of Pedro Pascal maybe didn't understand or know Mandalorians don't remove their helmets. However, there's more than one time in season one that he literally says to somebody, we never take our helmets off. So how are you now complaining about not being able to take your helmet off and not have your face more screen time on screen in your dialogue? Like, you don't even have to know the backstory anymore. You literally said the line like, hey, I don't take my helmet off for anybody.
Carl Urban did it for Dredd. So it can be done.
The dumbest reason being that he's jealous of all the hype that Baby Yoda's getting, or aka the child, whatever. I personally think his ego did the show. You thought it'd be good, but you didn't really think it'd blow up. And then it became one of the best things on television. And now you're like, hey, I want the credit. I want everybody to see my face and know it's me behind the mask. Like, we don't already know your name's attached to it and we know it's you. We even credited him for being able to emote the emotions and to do the character enough justice with a helmet on to even kind of understand and know what his facial expression probably is.
Right.
What is not good about this situation? Then now you would go as far as, from what we're hearing, walk off the set. And now say you may not want to do the show anymore, which, I mean, that's your prerogative. That's what you want to do. I would think, number one, you're under contract. Number two, from what I understand, Favreau and Filoni basically already said they're not going to go back and forth about this. If you don't want to do it, we'll find somebody that sounds like you and keep it moving. Like, you're not going to shut this down. You're not going to stop the show. What is he getting out of all this is my biggest question, because it doesn't make any kind of sense at all.
So there's actually truth to the rumors and stuff, or?
When I first read it, I thought it was complete bullshit. I was like, okay, maybe he had a bad day. He walked off set because he was hot, and it may not have been a big deal. And then now, I think it's like a week and a half later, it keeps coming up more and more to where now it's seeming right. Like this is starting to have some traction, and it may actually be true to this. One person even said, you'll see it kind of play out in season two because only half the season kind of focuses on him, and then they kind of expand into some other territories and subject matters. I was looking forward to a very good season, especially with the rumor that one, Boba Fett's supposed to show up, what that whole thing is going to be, Timothy Oliphant's character, the sheriff, or whatever he's supposed to be, and what his whole story is, because the rumor is that he may have Boba Fett's armor. So what's that dynamic going to be? The fact that Ahsoka Tano is supposed to show up. We still haven't seen Rosario Dawson yet, which I think they'll probably keep as a surprise for when the show actually airs. I know they were Emmy nominated. I want to say they won an Emmy. Yeah, you got all this good shit going. Who's not counting down to October 30th that liked the first season of Mandalorian? Everybody's waiting on this.
Well, apparently Pedro and Pascal.
Now you're like, oh, I'm going to walk off. I'm not going to. What is the purpose of this? To go furthermore, we saw your face season one. And even then in that scene, you told a robot you couldn't take your helmet off, and he told you, I'm not human. So you're like, okay, take it off. What purpose does it serve? You have screen time in Wonder Woman. Everybody knows it's you behind the helmet. What do we need to see your face for? What is it proven?
It doesn't make sense. Why would you be that unprofessional, right?
If you're upset because financially you're not getting compensated correctly, okay, that's one thing. But that's not a I'm walking off the show move. That's a, okay, let me, unless that is what's happening, right? Unless he went to Disney behind the scenes and said, hey, the show is doing better than what we thought it was going to do. I think I should get paid a little bit more. And they were like, hey, you signed a contract, bump that, ain't happening. And then he said, well, fuck it, I'll walk. Which clearly it's not working already, because the two people that's basically running this already, from what I'm hearing, have told him, you can go ahead and go if you want to. There's somebody on planet Earth that sounds like you or can do your voice. We'll just voice record the whole damn thing. Plan's not working. What's the purpose of any of this even going forward? Why not just come out, squash the whole rumor, and keep it moving? I could see if the result of The Mandalorian was Rise of Skywalker level. Okay.
Right. Yeah.
Maybe we got something to talk about. But you have the best show on Disney Plus and arguably on television right now.
The only thing saving Star Wars right now. That is the only thing.
The only thing saving Star Wars. Nobody's clamoring for a movie right now. Okay. But everybody wants The Mandalorian. Even non-Star Wars fans have told me, hey, Mike, I know you saw The Mandalorian. Absolutely. Man, that shit was good. Yes, I know. Welcome to our world. It can be very entertaining. The trailer was great. What's the problem? Like, he needs to come out and address this for real. Man up and speak on what the issue really is, because this literally makes no sense.
The only other angle I can see is just that he feels that he's an accomplice actor and that wearing a helmet or a mask, whatever you want to call it, is beneath him.
But again, even if you're that accomplished, right? When you read up on the character, within the first two or three things about a Mandalorian, you know they don't take their helmet off. That's part of their code. You're not going to tell me you did not know that going in. So how are you now mad that you can't have your helmet off? See if they never mentioned that tidbit. And then one day he read in the script when he was doing the scene and was like, oh, really? I can't take the helmet off? I find it hard to believe that he was not told that from day one, or unless he just never researched character and just showed up and said, okay, what y'all want me to do? It doesn't add up. And like yesterday, I saw Django without his helmet on. I asked Beep, I was like, hey, wait a minute. Why can't Django take his helmet off? I never thought about that. And he's like, it's technically, he's a bounty hunter, not a Mandalorian. I said, okay, makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Some kind of exile?
Yeah, the way he explained to me yesterday was the Mandalorian that got killed by the Jedi, and I can't remember his damn name right now. When he got killed, Django exiled himself from the Mandalorians, and then basically because they killed his boy, he was like, I hate Jedi. And so he just became an all-out bounty hunter. But because of that, it's like he can take the helmet off, ain't no big deal. That's how the clone thing happened and all that, no issues. But prior to that, full-blown Mandalorian, yeah, he'd been on the same thing. I'm not taking my helmet off for anybody. That's what it is. Same thing with Boba Fett. Technically, I guess he's a bounty hunter, not a Mandalorian, so
right.
He got a helmet off. But again, Pedro Pascal, you're an accomplished actor, so 9 out of 10, I'm sure you knew all this before it got to this point. How in the hell is this a problem now?
I'm wondering if it's just like something else going on.
It wouldn't be the first time that an actor that worked for Disney and Disney's iteration of Star Wars went off on everybody. Went off on the project itself. So that's all I can say. It seems to be a monthly occurrence at this point.
It's not a good look. Disney is steadily going through stuff and everything seems to revolve around Star Wars. So
yeah, the Marvel side seems to be okay. Aside from Chadwick Boseman.
Fans were upset when Black Widow got delayed till next year, but I mean, hell, Marvel's gonna have 4 movies next year now. Arguably, they might be in better shape than what they were gonna be because it bought them more time to kind of get things situated and figure out how they want to attack everything going forward. And especially with Chadwick passing, imagine if this was non-pandemic that happened and then everything's still supposed to be coming out. Right now, they have nothing but time to sit back and say, okay, well, this is how we're gonna deal with everything and keep moving.
Yeah, if they try to bring that out now, I mean, that'd be chaotic. One, no one's going to the theaters. Two, you know you're not going to make that money back on Disney Plus. So
yeah, and all the fans that argued and bitch and moan about, oh, they delayed it again. Stop acting like you're not going to be in the movie theater next year if it's open. Come on. You going to not go see the movie? Yeah, right. Like, let's keep it real. Like, you're going to be there. And Marvel knows that. So what is there to discuss? DC's giving all the news because Marvel does things when they want to do it. Chill. I wouldn't be too concerned. So the only thing I want to see is let everything die down. When people get down off the emotional part of it, just go ahead and say, Yahya Abdul-Mateen is a new Black Panther and do a righteous movie before you pass it to Shuri. That's it.
Yeah, so getting into the whole Black Panther situation that we talked about before, but and how to best handle that, because the whole movie was structured around Black Panther T'Challa dying and finding his father in the afterlife and his father giving the courage to come back. And I don't think you can kill off his character like that and do that.
It doesn't make sense. Like, it really doesn't.
Because the first movie, that was the whole thing.
Character. So y'all made very good points. Like, Jay brought the fact that Shuri in the movie was technically, like, what, 16, 17? And now all of a sudden she's going to be just inherit the mantle and be this badass overnight? That's like a race situation.
Yeah.
Develop the character.
It seems like Disney thinks diversity only goes in a certain direction. It's also where John Boyega's problem is.
I get the pass the mantle thing, and I have no problem with them doing it eventually. I just feel like before she gets handed that mantle, when Captain America passed to the Falcon, he was around for a while. You saw him develop.
Exactly.
Then he gets past the shield. It's not like he pops up Winter Soldier. They meet and the Captain America's like, yeah, I'm tired of this shit. Here, you take this and handle it. The plan is to have Namor be the bad guy for Black Panther 2. Do you honestly see Shuri in this state
No.
be able to deal with Namor Of all people, Namor.
They'd have to nerf Namor or turn the whole thing into a joke.
Well, I mean, that's kind of what they did with Star Wars. Any of the villains are
reactionary. Yeah. Right? Because everybody got online saying the same thing. You better not recast it. And that's why I said what I said. Just don't say anything about it now. Let it die down and chill. A few months, you come back and revisit and say, look, this is what we're going to do. And you do the best decision. And ultimately, you sit down and you decide, you have a director who clearly had a vision for the sequel. And you're clearly happy with it because you gave it a date and y'all are ready to prepare for it. It's a simple decision of what's best to achieve this vision without compromising it too much. And if it's recast, guess what? You recast. People get over it. We got over Terrence Howard, right? Shit, Chris Evans was Human Torch and then became Captain. Who the fuck talks about the Human Torch now? Associated with Chris Evans. Nobody. At times, you have to remind people that he was the Human Torch.
We don't talk about those days.
But you know, hell, for that matter, Michael B. Jordan was the Human Torch. If we want to go there. Nobody says that now. You know him as Killmonger. Like,
we don't talk about those days either. That's a terrible
movie. You know what I'm saying? But it's okay to recast. People will be fine.
I was talking to James. The problem that Marvel has, and I know they realize this is a problem, kind of the exact opposite of what's going on with Star Wars, and that is the actors. It's not about the characters they're playing. It's about the actors.
Yeah, like, they have too much talent. They've gone through Hollywood and picked and choose who should be in these movies, and they're picking all the good people.
And now they're locked into it. Robert Downey Jr. doesn't want to be Iron Man, so they wrote off Iron Man. Now he wants to come back, but now it's at a point where there was no opportunity for someone else to step into it. No, probably not, realistically. Speaking, not with Robert Downey Jr. alive, he is Iron Man. Their characters are locked into a specific face. It's going to be interesting coming out 10 years from now, how they're going to try and do things. Marvel's got a shit ton of characters, and maybe the X-Men universe will just open it up wide enough that they won't have to revisit old characters anymore. But, I mean, what do they want to do? Another Captain America movie. What do they want to bring back? An old school Avengers story. You know, you're going to try and wheel out the old crew? No. Try recast? Just recast the man. Let's recast, man. But I'd agree with you, Mike. Yeah, keep your mouth shut until you know what you're going to do and let it die down. Let the furor die down. But they're not helping anything by letting the rumors spread around that they're going to let someone else take over, because that all that's going to do is settle in people's minds. The climate, the way it is today, people are very sensitive about this subject right now. Now is not the time to be making knee-jerk reactions to that. But there will be a Black Panther movie. I know that much.
No, you know that.
Well, like, Disney wants
like,
that money.
It ain't like it's not going to happen. They're going to make sure it happens.
I mean, Disney wants that money. It has to.
People in the States need that shit, man. I can use something to feel good right now.
Was there any other news?
Cavill re-signing and him, Affleck, Gal Gadot, and Ray Fisher are shooting reshoots this week for the Snyder Cut.
One of those guys you mentioned, the guy that's going to play Kang?
No, that's the dude that plays Cyborg.
How about the guy that's playing Kang? You hear about that?
That's the guy from Love Country. Yeah, he got cast on the Marvel side, so that's went back into Marvel's whole diversity thing. And the fact that I guess people were talking about the fact that Kang the Conqueror, you don't really have a race per se. So they went with that casting a black dude on the problem. Then the rumor started. They've been talking to John David Washington about playing Mr. Fantastic.
Because they're supposed to be related.
Yeah. And so, and John David Washington came out and said he'd actually like to play the part. So usually when that happens, that means there's probably a conversation that happened. And it's probably a real chance that it could occur. I always assumed it would be John Krasinski and Emily Blunt because that had just always been a rumor for the longest. But so they're already talking about Giancarlo Esposito playing Magneto or Professor X. Like I said, the John David Washington thing, the fact that he came out and literally said he wanted to do it kind of leads me to believe he's probably had the conversation already.
Right.
So I wouldn't be shocked if the announcement came within the next month or so, because that's usually what it boils down to.
John Krasinski. John David Washington can do it. I'm trying to think about the family dynamic.
Yeah, I think that's what would have made that a lot more interesting. The fact that they're married in real life, I think would have played well on screen between him and Emily Blunt. Plus, both of them can act. And John Krasinski can direct. So you kind of had a nice little package right there. You know, what do I mean?
Kang the Conqueror. I mean,
Kang's related to Mr. Fantastic.
Yeah, I want to see Fantastic.
Distantly over time zone.
And so I heard like other rumors
or
on
something crazy.
Okay. I heard other rumors on how this might end up working. So the rumor is Ant-Man 3 is supposed to set up the Fantastic Four, and that's where Kang is going to show up. So apparently he's been stuck in the quantum realm and comes out somewhere during the whole Endgame situation. And so the theory now is that Marvel, that's going to be their way to introduce the Fantastic Four, to not only show why they have powers, but then also explain why they're so old and we're just now seeing them. Is that Reed Richards, Sue Storm, Johnny, and Ben Grimm got stuck in the quantum realm however many years ago? Because in Endgame, remember, 5 years is only, what, 5 hours to Scott Lang?
Right.
So they're going to say, like, they were stuck in there for 50 years, which would only be, what, however many days. So that's how they're going to try to, so that it makes sense. As opposed to them going to space and then getting hit with cosmic rays and all that kind of stuff. Although, remember, phase 4 and 5 and 6 are supposed to deal with cosmic at some point. So,
The past angle doesn't make a whole lot of sense. That's unless they try to merge Mr. Fantastic's character with...
They'll probably merge with Hank Pym and, like, make them have some kind of relationship with S.H.I.E.L.D. It's the only way I can see that going. Or that he helped Hank Pym at some point, and that's how he ended up stuck in the quantum realm.
They've earned the benefit of the doubt. So, it'll be interesting. I can't wait to see it. I'll be watching it.
Well, man, I've always been curious as to how they're going to do this. I was a little surprised at Kang being the announcement, because everybody kept saying Dr. Doom was kind of the big thing that they heard. But it was rumored that Kang's supposed to set up somebody bigger. So, I said, I don't know. Damn, really, it's not too much getting leaked out too much now. I guess the Ghost Rider conversation is off, but they've been talking to him about Moon Knight. That was the only other thing I've heard. And then on the DC side, of course, Aldous Hodge and The Rock confirmed he'll be Hawkman.
Keith, tell us how you feel about that one.
Yeah, I'm like... I mean, Aldous Hodge, Hawkman's cool and everything, and I understand because of the whole Egyptian angle that it makes sense for Black Adam to introduce Hawkman. I'm still, like, not sure how they're going to do accurate The Rock being Black Adam. I mean, because he's already talking about he's a different type of hero. You're like, no, Black Adam is not a hero. He's a maybe a step above being a complete asshole.
He's definitely an anti-hero.
He's an anti-hero in the fact that you root for him because he's one of the more villainous aspects, but the dude's a complete jerk. I mean, he's not on Homelander's level. He's not at that level. There's a reason for his madness, but he's essentially just gets banished from Earth because he wants to take over because he's too arrogant. I don't know. I don't know how Rock's going to handle that, because they're going to have, at some point, Billy Batson take him, like, fight him at some point. And the Rock's got that weird contract stipulation of his. That he doesn't lose a fight. I don't know if his brand will allow for him to play the villain, put it that way.
Probably not.
It's like, you know, where Schwarzenegger didn't mind playing the bad guy. I don't know. The Rock's all about, I'm the hero. But all is hot. I'm assuming they're going to do something with him being in the past and everything. But all this stuff and how it got kicked off. But I don't know. I don't know. DC Cinematic Universe has not earned my absolute trust. So I will. I take everything with a grain of salt with that entire arena and stuff.
Well, they fired everybody at Warner Brothers, so maybe they're trying to get it together.
Did they can everybody? Because, I mean, AT&T kind of came through and was like, we're undoing all the fuck-ups you clowns did. And
they basically canned everybody and put Jim Lee in charge. So that was the last rumor I heard. They didn't really have comic book people in place before, so you're not going to get good results. I mean, that's common sense. You got a boardroom from people who've never read a Batman comic. What the hell are they going to be able to tell you? That's why they keep rehashing the same shit over and over and over again. They'd have been better going to a Comic-Con and just asking the fans, what do y'all want to see? Okay, we'll figure it out. And just read the books and put it on screen. You'd have had a better result. But, yeah, what do I know?
Well, AT&T's making the right move so far.
So if Disney can get their shit together, get Kathleen out.
It's like, you know, Mike, I want to tell interesting stories.
We all knew it was going to be a train wreck when she jumped out and started talking about how there was nothing for them to go by, that they had to start from scratch with Star Wars. It's a train wreck, and we're just going to have to watch what happens. And when you see the train wreck, oh, my God, they're actually like legit dead bodies in this thing. Like, I wonder if she's got some crazy ironclad contract that they're just afraid to fire, and she'll just walk away owning half of Disney or something.
She must, because if you're letting it ride out this long, she got something on them, that's for sure.
Because, I mean, we were talking yesterday. The realization was that only 2 Star Wars movies kept their original directors. The original creative talent that stayed through the whole process. Force Awakens and The Last Jedi. Yeah. And The Last Jedi, I think, lost their writers.
Just had different ideas for Star Wars, and it all centered around dollar signs.
which failed miserably. Like, they need to just give that China thing up.
I mean, dollar signs at all costs. That's basically what it was.
Understand that China is done. It's lost to them.
They don't want Star Wars.
They don't want it. I mean, it's just too Western. They don't want that shit. Christ, even I can see it.
Yeah, so getting back to Pedro Pascal, we don't know what he's thinking about, but apparently, hashtag free the mask. And that's the Beastgame podcast.
He's going to find that fan base is just going to turn on him quick as shit.
I mean, the fan base turns on everybody anyway. So.
Yeah, pretty much, yo. Pretty much. You might be able to recover from that shit later on, but...
Like, they like you in Game of Thrones, but you start messing with Star Wars.
Yeah, you just...
That's it, like, for you, buddy. That's it.
Coming. No. No one from you. I don't want to wear the helmet anymore.
Beastgame podcast, everybody.